program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Class is now in session. Welcome to Spirituality 101 with your instructor, Reverend Norman. Come prepared with questions and comments and see through the lens of spirituality. And now, here's your host, Reverend Norman.
Welcome to Spirituality 101. I'm Reverend Norma, and this is the missing college course, the one that would have afforded you a joyful, peaceful way of living had it been taught alongside the academic and professional courses. This course offers a guide on how to put ancient wisdom teachings into daily living. And the emphasis here is on the word wisdom. We're not about religion. We're ready to delve into things that are deeply spiritual. St. Augustine once said, and I quote, "Men go out to wonder at the height of mountains, the huge waves of the sea, the broad flows of rivers, the vast compass of the ocean, the courses of the stars, and they pass by themselves without wondering." We're here to motivate you to begin the process of wondering at the beauty of your own nature and the vast universe of which you are a part. This class is about you. We're here to share information, to hear the stories of ordinary, everyday people who have dared to set foot on the path to higher consciousness. We're here to be inspired by their stories and to be seeded by their wisdom. To help you to find your true self and to help you to live in that true self as simply, joyously, and lovingly as you can. Today we'll start at the beginning. Our topic today is birthright. At the moment of conception, millions of units of life-giving energy engage in an ancient battle to bring new light into the world. If you're listening to my voice, you're a winner. Why are you a winner? Because you were the one unit that earned the right to be born. You took the spark ignited at the moment of conception into a roaring flame and got a real chance of fulfilling your destiny. Now, our worldly education has taught us very well about our constitutional rights that is given to us by the land of our birth. There are cultural rights that spring from the culture in which we were born and in which we were raised. Rights such as the right of the firstborn, the right of the first son, the right of inheritance. These are all birthrights that we are more or less familiar with, but are you aware that at the moment of birth, you came into the world fully invested with universal birthrights? And today I've got my guest who will share with us her journey in not only discovering what her birthright is spiritually, but a 10-year journey that has taken her on the path to fulfilling those birthrights. Allow me to introduce to you my guest, Olivia Goulburn, a prolific writer, a poet, a musician, an author of an inspired collection of poems called The Road to Peace, a very dear friend. She's also experienced a 10-year passage of initiation and healing, which has led to empowerment and a knowing at many levels. Help me to welcome Olivia Goldburn.
Hello?
Hi, Olivia.
Hi, Norma. How are you?
Fine. Welcome to Spirituality 101.
And I thank
you
for having
me. You and I are the beginning of this process.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You have written an amazingly beautiful poem that has touched my life for nearly a quarter of a century. A poem that has helped me to not only understand my birthright, but to put it in place. And today I wanted to share with our viewers the magnitude of what it is that you wrote. And I think I'd like to begin by asking you, where was your life when you wrote Birthright?
I had just relocated and was in the process of settling into Maryland and was not aware that I was going to begin on this 10-year adventure, is what I call it now. But at the time, it was a rather interesting journey of understanding what was my right in life. And this poem was an answer to what is it that I'm really entitled to in this life? What is it that really my life is about? And the words of the poem were an answer as well as a declaration. And it came through spirit, an answer from God, to understand why I needed to embark on this journey. But I didn't realize that it would shape my life the way it did.
Wonderful. And I can assure you it's shaped your life, it's shaped my life, and it has certainly shaped the lives of hundreds of people. So, can we ask you to share with us Birthright?
Of course. Birthright. It is my birthright to be at peace, to be happy, to love and be loved, to seek my truth, to wonder at the beauty of nature, to know myself, to understand the mysteries of life, to rejoice in the significance of now, to learn the lessons of living, to share the joy of laughter, to love and be loved, to be happy, to be at peace.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I know it. I've come to know it by heart. And as I've said, it's been almost a quarter of a century as I took that poem line by line and began to examine the real, true depth and meaning of why I'm here. So many people ask the question, what is my destiny? What is my purpose? What am I here to do? When I began to work with this poem, it dawned on me that until we understand the depth of the rights that we were given at birth, the spiritual rights that we were given at birth, and until we step on the path, to owning these rights, owning it and living it and becoming it, then and only then we're really ready and equipped to move on to fulfilling the destiny. Now, would you say that was probably in your mind as you engaged the process too?
I think when you contacted me and asked me to participate in your today, I really spent the time reflecting on how this poem came to be in my life and what it has really meant to me. And as I dissected it line by line, I recognized in the writing of it, and the writing of my poetry is a mystery to me. It it comes and I look at it and say, oh, it's a gift. And it really is a gift and a light for my future. And this poem in particular was the basis on me moving forward. When I felt alone and I felt lost and I felt troubled and afraid in the journey, I returned to this poem. And it is my birthright to be happy. It is my right to be at peace, because I believe that that's what God wants for us. And the way to get there was the middle of the poem, to seek your truth, to wonder at the beauty of nature.
Say a little bit more about that.
The
middle of
what,
the poem.
The what, as, to me, as I look at the poem, and I've spent the time analyzing it now, is there are repetitions, and the what's are what is repeated. To be at peace, to be happy, to love and be loved. But the things in the middle of the poem are the how you get to those places.
Ah.
How you feel. If you seek your truth, the comfort and the respite is to wonder at the beauty of nature.
Wow.
And then when you wonder at the beauty of nature, you come to know yourself.
Ah, I see.
And then you understand when you understand the mysteries of life, whatever you perceive that to be, it's an individual journey. But once you understand the mysteries of life, then you really understand how you can rejoice in the significance of right now.
Oh, dear. Now, I think that I spent a tremendous amount of time on that line, to rejoice in the significance of now. It's not as easy as it sounds, is it?
No. We get very lost in past and forward.
That's right. We get lost in the past. We forget that the past is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And while we can pass a cursory glance at the past, the present is really the gift. Mm-hmm. And when we're in the moment, the present is the gift. Now, what will you do? What are you prepared to do with the gift? Because it is the gift that will shape the future. It is the gift that will shape eternity. So I find that very interesting, you know, that you link the fact that until you begin to understand the mysteries of life, being able to rejoice in the significance of now is going to be a little difficult.
Yeah.
But that line, I think I spent several years on that line in order to be able to fully embody the totality of those powerful words. Well, we have to take a break,
okay.
But we'll be right back. My guest, Livia Goldberg.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Reprogram Your Life specializes in the design and implementation of life-changing spiritual experiences. Let us help you to expand your consciousness, grow wisdom, or foster realignment of body, mind, and spirit. Whether it's individualized instruction or a group encounter, we are here to tailor the event to suit your needs. Go to www.reprogramyourlife.net or call us at 301-920-2291. That's reprogramyourlife.net or call 301-920-2291. Reprogram Your Life, pioneers in motivation and rehabilitation.
The results indicate your child has neuroblastoma.
There's evidence of metastasis.
We need to schedule a bone marrow.
We'll need to perform a surgical
urinary
biopsy,
VMA
MIBG scan.
After you hear your child has cancer, chances are you don't hear anything else. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Tune into Inner Speak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. Inner Speak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the 7th Wave Network.
taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Spirituality 101 with Reverend Norma. We encourage your participation in this course. Please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. If you wish to provide written correspondence, please address your emails to myspirituality101@yahoo.com. Now, back to Spirituality 101.
Welcome back. I am Reverend Norma, and this is Spirituality 101, and we're talking with my guest, Olivia Goldburn, and our topic is birthright. Do you know your birthright? Do you know what rights were accorded to you at the spiritual moment of your birth? And how do you get in touch with those rights, and how do you begin to work them so that you begin to embody them and live them and become more of who you are? Welcome back, Olivia.
Hi.
You were talking about the middle of the poem and the fact that at the beginning of the poem we have to be at peace. It's my birthright to be at peace, to be happy, to love and be loved. And when you get to the end of the poem, I notice these three lines are repeated at the end of the poem, to love and be loved, to be happy, and to be at peace. Can I then, or this has been my question over the years, I have assumed that the fact that it's repeated, it's given at the beginning and then repeated at the end, that these were the three lines that I needed to really work on in order to be able to fulfill my birthright.
Yes.
What's your response to that?
Yes, I think that it is the three things, and for me, the way that I have applied it to my life is that we do have a right to be at peace, and we do have a right to be happy, and we do have the right to love and be loved.
And can I ask you a question there?
Yes.
On the one, to love and be loved. This line, I don't know if you're aware of it, the elements of this line appears in the middle of a piece of Bob Marley's music.
No, and, I didn't know.
Oh, yes. The love, to love is easy. We all understand the notion of to be able to love. However, not a whole lot of us stop to think about what it means to love and be love. To be love is to become love.
Yes.
And so we have to work on those elements, those lower elements of our nature that prevents us from being able to become love. And I think sometimes we forget this. You know, we are all seeking this wonderful person out there who are going to love us eternally and make us happy, but are we lovable? To what extent are we shut down from actually receiving love? And we live in a very harsh reality that is the world, which often forces us to shut down parts of our sensitivity so that we can survive. But I don't think a whole lot of people stop to think that once we do that in order to survive, we now have to back up and do the work that is necessary to open up the channels again so that we can become love. So this is a very, very powerful line here, and a line that took me several years, to love and be loved and become love. How did you see that line as you journeyed through the experience?
For me, it opened up the opportunity to allow myself to feel love in my life and to allow myself to give that love, and it showed up in my relationship with my husband. It showed up in my relationship with my daughter. The ability to love beyond the pain of living and the challenge of what is going on in one's life and blending together people with different personalities. It's you always return to that place is it love? Mm-hmm. And am I being lovable, as you put it, is really the question.
Mm-hmm. Being, to understand the beauties and the mysteries of life.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, for me, it was the source of the journey, and this poem really was a light for my journey, and it allowed me to focus on each of these steps. And the mysteries of life allowed me to explore what does everybody think, and then discard all of that and take on what's in my heart, and to know myself and to know my truth. Because in knowing my truth, I ultimately believe that you know what God would have you do. Without that, we can get lots of, you know, we can go many places, but to be able to hear the voice of God in your heart, which is what my pursuit has been, give me wisdom and help me understand the mysteries of life. Because once you understand the mysteries of life, you recognize that it's now. This is what you have.
And I think that is one of the biggest mysteries, you know. The mystery is really now. What are you experiencing? What are you feeling? What actions are you taking with now?
Whether
now represents
you're learning
pain.
Now.
Yes.
What is the lesson you're learning now?
Well, it seems we have a caller on the line, and we'd like to hear what her question is. So we'll take the caller.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Paula. How are you?
I am wonderful, and thanks for bringing this program to us at this time when it is so needed.
You're welcome.
I'm listening to the comments being made, and one of the questions was, you know, you're speaking about opening our channels again to love. You said we're waiting for someone to make us happy, but are we love? And my question is, how does one go about opening those channels to love? I know it's something we talk about, we speak about love, 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 but what really is love, and how do we open those channels?
Oh dear, that is a... we need three programs to answer those questions. But to kind of, to touch on your question, thank you very much for your question, it's a very, very deep question. What is love? I once read this and worked with this for several years in my life. Love is divine. God is love. And love, when it hits the density of the earth, turns into light. So when we're blocked, what we need to do is turn towards the light so that the light can clear the blockages that we're carrying on the inside. And it's a simple thing that people can do. You know, you will hear me talk a lot about practice, practice, practice on this show. Get up in the morning and walk. Find a route where you're walking with your face into the sunlight so that the sunlight can begin to burn whatever blockages you have on the inside. Spend some time walking in the evening into the moonlight. That's one way to begin. Strive to live more lightheartedly. Begin to look at who you surround yourselves with and how much light that there is emanating from that process. And we begin to get drawn to literature that talks to us and speaks to us about the power of light in the universe and how we can individually in meditation, in our imagination, begin to work with and take light into our being. Because light on the planet is simply the manifestation of God on earth. Does that help you to understand?
Yes, it does. And you have answered more than my question, because when you started off speaking about light, I was about to ask you, well, what is this light? Because I'm just thinking any light. But you have explained it. It's also the manifestation of God's love in our life.
Yes, it is. The manifestation of God itself. See, we are spiritual beings. Unfortunately, we fooled ourselves into believing that we are humans. We are spirits desperately trying to be human, and hence the reason why we make so many mistakes. Because we're not very good at adept at being human.
Could you repeat that? We are spirit trying to be...
we are spirits desperately trying to be human. And so this is why we make the mistakes we make, because we don't really know how to be human. We know very well how to be spiritual.
Wow.
And then in the act of trying to be good humans, sometimes we let go of the spirituality that we know so well.
Thank you ever so much.
You're most welcome.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. And thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Are you there, Olivia?
I am here.
Oh, that was an interesting question, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yes. It's the light that breaks through, filters through the darkness. And there is scripture in almost every religion and every philosophy that reminds us of the power of light at work in our lives. The shared joy of laughter. Seems to me that that is tied to the one of to love and be loved.
Yes.
Because laughter cannot really come out of us until we have really touched that place of joy and we've touched that place of love and we've opened up ourselves to being loved. Because one of the things I find that love overcomes fear. We live in a fear-ridden world. And the more of the love that we carry is the more we open up ourselves to being rid of fear.
It's true.
And it is when we're rid of fear that we can really get to this line, this beautiful line you have here, to share the joy of laughter.
Mm-hmm. But laughter is one of the great gifts to me because it heals.
Yes, it does.
It allows us to release all negativity if we really give it a true belly laugh. It's a healing asset in our lives.
It sure is.
Some days when I'm feeling really bad, I stand in front of the mirror like Larry Hagman, and I just laugh in the morning. And it just really
I like that. I
makes
practice.
My day.
I must practice that. I really
it really makes a difference.
I really love that. But I just want to thank you for bringing this poem into my life. And I can't stress enough how much, you see, before I started working with this poem, I was working on fragments of myself. And I was fascinated by the momentous things out there. And then I ran into this poem and I began to realize, Norma, you have to work at being at peace. You have to work at being happy. You have to work at being love and being loved. You have to come to know your truth. And what you did was you walked me into the practicality of spirituality. You made spirituality practical. These are little things that I can do, but monumental things that open up the doorways. Thank you so very, very, very much.
Well, you can't imagine how welcome you are and how much it blesses my heart.
And we go to another commercial break and come back and help us wrap up.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Manifest your personal and professional dream by honoring your true genius and magnificence. On DeMartini, Live and Inspired, host Dr. John F. DeMartini shares his enlightening perspectives, humorous observations of human nature, and practical action steps to live a truly inspired, purposeful, and fulfilling life. His scope of knowledge and experience is a culmination of 34 years of research and studies. Dr. DeMartini's trailblazing philosophy and revolutionary understanding is reshaping modern psychology and business and changing the lives of millions. Broadcasting each week as a special program on the Seventh Wave Network, DeMartini, Live and Inspired, transforms thought and stimulates action. Get ready to break through to live an amazing life.
the new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Spirituality 101 with Reverend Norma. We encourage your participation in this course. Please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. If you wish to provide written correspondence, please address your emails to myspirituality101@yahoo.com. Now, back to Spirituality 101.
Welcome back. This is Norma. Reverend Norma, and we are visiting with my guest, Olivia Goldburn. Olivia, are you there?
I am.
I just wanted to ask the question. We wanted to hear a little bit about that 10-year journey that you've been teasing us with so far. Tell us a little bit about the journey and what the destination has been so far. 10 is a significant amount of time, and I'm sure you've gotten to a place, a destination, so tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it was a healing journey, and I didn't know at the time that it was going to be as long as it was. I considered stopping many times along the way, saying, enough of this. But it really was an awakening of myself in an effort to love and be loved. We had a daughter in the process, and she's now 20, and attending university, and each step of her growth, I grew as well. So after the 10 years, we had another 10 years of process. I became a mediator and in the process learned and developed a program for helping individuals. And
wonderful.
My commitment... I'm sorry?
I said that's wonderful.
My commitment has been to serve humanity, and when someone shows up and says, please help, I'm willing to serve in that capacity. And I use the poem Birthright and the other poetry and the lessons of my life as maps and guides as to what is really important and how you negotiate through the pain of your life to find the opportunity where you can be happy.
Oh, wonderful. Let's see what the next caller, Hollis, would like to ask of us. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Let me first say congratulations on having such an unusual show, and also congratulations to the poet for being able to articulate so clearly some ideas in which I believe. However, I have a couple questions.
Oh, thank you.
Interestingly, you mentioned Bob Marley's song about loving. But again, I would like to ask, does not being loved follow your ability to first love? And does not being loved transcend the personal type, which we emphasize so often when we talk about love of our children and our lovers and so on? But again, from a spiritual perspective, could you tell me a little more about that?
Well, first of all, we were created. We didn't just get here. Even though we're part of the universal force, and we have always been a part of the universal force, some source, some force out there had to be responsible to recreate so that we can function in this sphere called Earth. I am of the opinion that to really embrace love, one has got to, first of all, be able to get to that agape love that says, I love unconditionally. I love because of the joy of loving. I love because, first of all, I love my Creator, and since I was made in the image of my Creator, if I love my Creator enough, I therefore will love myself. And until I can love myself, I'm really in a race and in a battle to truly love anyone else. Does that help you to understand that?
Well, certainly I do. And that is why, too, I raise the question, because so very often we want to be loved, but we do not understand that I believe it is a message we put into the universe, and it comes back to us multiplied.
And, of course, when it comes back to us, it comes back fully packed and charged with the work we must do to clear the garbage out the way. You know, people think, well, when you put out the request and it comes back to you, what will come back to you is nothing but love and delight. It will bring love and delight, but it will also bring those experiences that will and the journey that will take you to the place to get the negative out of the way in order that you can be clear enough, you can become a clear channel for this thing called love.
Yes. Well, I fully understand that because, again, I am seeing this ability to love as giving you the tools to be able to deal with what may not appear to be love. But in the scheme of things, perhaps, who knows?
Who knows? Olivia, did you want to add anything to that answer?
Well, I think that for me, sometimes love needs to be from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't make it less love.
Okay.
And I think the ability to love, as expressed in the poem and within my very soul, is something, it's not a question whether or not there is love and whether or not we are entitled to that, to feel loved. It is our birthright.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I hear that. I hear that in my soul. I hear that very deeply in my soul. Well, we want to thank you, Hollis, for bringing your question to the table and for your participation. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for the answer, too.
You're most welcome. Olivia?
Yes.
I want to say a special thank you to you for opening up and sharing your journey. Opening up and helping us to understand the depth and the width of this poem that you have put into the world. And before we close, I'd just like to ask you to repeat the poem one more time.
Of course. I'd be happy to do that. And I want to tell you how much I appreciate you opening the door and allowing me to have the courage to walk through the door and to share this poem with the world. Thank you.
Thank you.
Birthright. It is my birthright to be at peace, to be happy, to love and be loved, to seek my truth, to wonder at the beauty of nature, to know myself, to understand the mysteries of life, to rejoice in the significance of now, to learn the lessons of living, to share the joy of laughter, to love and be loved, to be happy, to be at peace.
Well, thank you. That's so beautiful. Thank you. I want you to give out information on how people can experience your poetry. I know you have a website, so will you give out that information for us? If people want to contact you, if people want to get their hands on your collection of poems, how can they do that?
They can find me at OliviaQG.com, OliviaQG.com.
Okay. Thank you so much.
I thank you.
And may the journey be full of light.
For you as well. Thank you.
You're welcome. This is Spirituality 101. And today we're talking about birthrights. And you've heard this beautiful poem that my guest, Olivia Goldburn, has put into the world, a poem that placed me on a 22-year journey and has allowed me to understand what the foundation is that leads to the fulfillment of the destiny. But I also want to share with you the notion that while we need to be on a journey, that journey must at all times encompass the world, that we are not, it encompass the fact that we are not islands. No man, no woman is an island. And the journey of engaging your birthright inevitably requires that we open up to others, that we share, that we seek the opportunities that now presents to us to love and be loved, that we understand that the mysteries of life, a mystery is only a mystery when you do not have in your hands all of the pieces for the puzzle. And so it's our responsibility when we're on this journey of trying to get in touch with and fulfill our birthright, it's our responsibility to engage in and seek out very diligently all that the world has to offer us so that we can become the cleanest, clearest channel so that this love that leads to peace can shine through. So what are the mysteries of life, you may well ask? There are people who are still working, very much working on various aspects of the universe. A dear friend of mine once said, the world is full of beautiful people who seem to be a little bit afraid of the universe that God has created inside of themselves, as well as the universe on the outside. They're afraid of exploring that universe. And any journey that will allow us to embrace our birthright must invariably take the path of exploration. That exploration starts with self on the inside, and then we begin to explore what is sometimes called the mysteries of life. But just remember that a mystery is only a mystery when we do not have all of the pieces. And we live in a world today that is absolutely full of sacred teachings, a world where the bookstores have opened up onto us the opportunity to engage in and to participate, to read about and to put into practice much, much more than our foreparents had. And so I want to encourage you that while the journey must of necessity begin on the inside, I want to encourage you to reach out and find and discover the many joyous tools that they are available to us outside in the world so that we can prepare ourselves to engage our birthright. This is Spirituality 101 with Reverend Norma. We'll be right back.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
What's this? Milk. Low fat, no fat. They're milk too, and their names rhyme.
This man may sound odd.
Low fat, no fat.
But to his 3-year-old daughter helping him pick out food, he makes perfect sense.
Here's cheese with holes in it.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. Take simple moments like shopping and turn them into learning moments.
It's called Swiss.
Swiss has holes.
That's right. Oh, can you say gorgonzola?
Gorgonzola.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Visit bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, hosted by Reiki Master Phyllis Lei Forimoto, brings to the Seventh Wave Network this worldwide human art form. Join Phyllis every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time as she shares her experiences from around the globe and helps you to understand the effects of living in conscious relationship with the energy of Reiki. Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network. This is Spirituality 101 with Reverend Norma. We encourage your participation in this course. Please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. If you wish to provide written correspondence, please address your emails to myspirituality101@yahoo.com. Now, back to Spirituality 101.
Welcome back. This is Spirituality 101, and I am Reverend Norma. And we just said goodbye to our guest, Olivia Goldberg, who brought to our attention today a beautiful poem she wrote 22 years ago called Birthright, which reminds us of the rights that were, the spiritual rights that were accorded to us at the moment of our birth. And now I'd like to, this is a course, and so therefore I would like to leave with you some things that you might want to take into consideration on this journey to higher consciousness. First of all, I'd like to share with you the fact that until we can get a real handle on the physical aspects of our being, getting a handle on the spiritual aspects of our being will always prove difficult. So, I want to leave you with tip number one. Get your body fit so that the mind will follow. And when the mind follows, the spirit will blossom. And by that I mean get back to engaging your natural divine rhythm. Every human being who has come into this world came in on a ray of rhythm that is peculiar to each and every one of us. As we get here into the world, we tend to have to moderate and adjust our own rhythm to fit in with the rhythm of the culture in which we were born, the parents that we have, and the social conditioning under which we must be raised. When we begin to engage the depth of higher consciousness, then it requires us to first and foremost get back to our original rhythm. And walking is the ideal way to do this. And I know many of you out there will say to me, well, I go to the gym 3 times a week. And I engage in exercise, and that is wonderful. Keep the body fit. But in this race to regain your rhythm, it requires walking 2 or 3 times a week. So get the body fit. Get back into rhythm. And as you get back into rhythm, you are now beginning to fine-tune this phenomenal piece of machinery that we call the body. And you're proving to the universe that I am quite capable of taking care of physical things, so therefore you can entrust me with some of the spiritual things. Put simple rituals in place in your life. And when I say that, I don't mean that you've got to go out and create this mystical ritual. But just begin to see your day in 3 parts. How do you begin your day? What are the natural rituals that you've established for yourself? It becomes a ritual if you do it every day around the same time in the same way. So what is your morning ritual? When you wake up in the morning, what are the first 3 things that you do? Is meditation a part of that ritual? Is prayer a part of that ritual? Some people meditate best in the shower. Whatever that may mean for you, be consistent. Create a consistent pattern in which you start the day around your main meal time and the way you end your day. And in that way, you are now beginning to walk back into your rhythm and to create rhythms within the natural order of your day that will begin to create consistency and develop patterns. Tip number 3, remember that our thoughts engage the entire universe that is within us. And then they collate into words that go before us into the universe. And then that energy magnetizes similar energy and pulls it back into our everyday space. So become aware, fully aware, of your thoughts. Be very mindful of choosing the words that you send before you, and live in a state of mindfulness. So first you're walking back into rhythm so that you can get back into your divine rhythm. Next, you're creating small patterns that become almost like rituals around your rising hours in the morning, your main meal, and in the evening. Take a walk. If you take a walk in the morning, then be consistent. Be consistent about taking that walk in the morning. If you choose to walk in the evening, be consistent about choosing to walk in the evening. And then I want to remind you that your words, your thoughts, and your words will eventually show up in your life approximately 5 years after you have put it out. In other words, we are who we are today because of the thoughts and the words that we have put out approximately 5 years ago. And when we understand that, then we begin to live more consciously of our thoughts and our words and the ways in which they create the state of our life in which we live in the now. Bless yourself daily. Yes, I said bless yourself. We sometimes think we need other people to bless us. But as we bless ourselves every day, small prayer, a thought, we begin to bring ourselves into sacredness. And as we bring ourselves into sacredness, then the divinity of the universe will generally do the rest. I want to pause there and give you an opportunity to think on what I have said, and I'm hoping that you are making notes on these things so that you can, if you have a question about anything that I have just said, feel free to send me an email at myspirituality101@yahoo.com. I repeat that, myspirituality101@yahoo.com. And I can assure you that you will get a response. Now, I want to encourage you. I hope you enjoyed today's session, and I want to encourage you to tune in next Friday when our topic will be Spirit as Life Force. We are today becoming more aware of the fact that we are spiritual, but what does that mean? What does that mean in terms of spirit and how it functions in our lives? So we want to talk about that next Friday, and I will have Dr. Carl Hampton will be our guest. Dr. Carl Hampton, he is a specialist. He has become a specialist at merging the spiritual with the psychological. And in his practice, he's a clinical psychologist. In his practice, he is doing much work embodying the spiritual with the psychological. It's a session you may not want to miss because I can assure you that his thoughts and his ideas around this topic are very profound. I've had the privilege of working with him a little bit, and I bring the spiritual, he brings the psychological, and together we help people to overcome tremendous strides, tremendous challenges, as the psychological world begins to open up and to wake up to the fact that Spirit is enduring, spirit is all present, spirit is all natural. And as we engage those thoughts more, as we begin to live that way more, we begin to realize that science and spirituality are very much tied together. And as we think on these things more, we begin to live these things more, we begin to realize that science is simply the outpicturing of that which is truly spiritual. I want to thank you for opening up your hearts and for giving your time to us today. And I hope that we have created some food for thought. And if you have questions, please do not hesitate to send us your questions at myspirituality101@yahoo.com. Once again, thank you. And remember, God is love, love is divine, And when love hits the density that is earth, it turns into light. Be blessed.
Class is dismissed. Until next week, make sure you're on time to join Reverend Norma every Friday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another session of Spirituality 101. We'll see you then on Seventh Wave Network.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.